The following sermon was preached Lord's Day morning by Pastor Gary McNamee. For more resources like these audio sermons and other Reformation-era study helps, please visit our website at gracerpcna.org. Now listen in as we continue our study through the book of Ephesians, where we learn of Christ and the Spirit-filled wife, part 2.
Come to the preaching of God's Word. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 22 to 24. For a long time, we have been focusing on being filled with the Spirit. And so as we come to this passage, and like we did last week, we are still making that connection with this command and exhortation for the wife to be submitting to her husband, that she does this by being filled with the Spirit, and that apart from that, she will not be able to do that. Keep that in mind as we hear these words of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord to you, His people. Please pay careful and special attention to it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 24. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we come to this passage of your word. And like all times, Lord, we are dependent upon you and seeking your grace and mercy and your Holy Spirit to teach us, Lord. We are trusting, Lord, that you will do that. We believe that you will do that, Lord, and we are asking for it. We also ask, Lord, that you would give us open minds and ready hearts to hear from your word. And help us, Lord, to put it to practice in our life. Fill each one of us, Lord, with your Spirit, as we yield our lives to you, seeking to honor you and glorify you in the way that we walk here on earth. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is part 2 of this passage. If you were here last week, you may recall what we talked about. But in case you don't, and to make a connection to what I'm talking about today, I want to briefly remind you of what was preached last week. So we're in this same passage, and we heard from God's word that the Spirit-filled wife is first called to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in recognizing His lordship over her life, she then is able then to hear this call and obey this call to submit to her husband. But submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation for all our lives. And it is brought up here as a practical application to help the wife submit to her husband. And it is the key to submitting to your husband. It is the key to submitting to all authorities in our life. And that is to submit first to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Spirit-filled wife is called to submit to her husband as a result of submitting to her Lord Jesus. We also talked a little bit about the meaning of submission, which is to put oneself under another, to put others above yourself. And in the role of a wife, it is particularly called out here that she submit to her husband, subject herself to her husband as having that role of authority over her. And the basis we looked at in Genesis, the foundation for this submission, is based on God's providence and God's creation order, in that God made man first, and then he made woman from the man. And God set the order of creation there. We also noted that in that time that God was creating the woman, that God said it was not good that man should be alone. And so it was not good that man was alone, and God made a helpmeet for him, the woman, from him. And so we saw that the woman is a goodness to Adam from God. And I think that's important for you ladies to see that, whether you are a wife now or intend to be sometime in the future. That this is not something that is a burden placed upon you, but a recognition of God's goodness to both you and your husband. It is good in all directions. It is good for all people. It is good for the world that a wife submits to her husband, because it is a testimony of the church submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ, and also a testimony of what God is doing in her life. Well, then we looked at particularly what submission looks like. What does it look like for a wife to submit herself to her husband as a helpmeet created by God? And we looked at several scriptures, but here I'm going to give you the headings of what we looked at. One was to respect or honor your husband. Two was to help your husband. Three, obey your husband. And fourthly, be modest in your dress and behavior. And then we concluded that much prayer is needed by both the wife and the husband, because our temptations from the evil one, our own desires, our own weaknesses, and our own sins come up against this command. They come up against this command and cause us difficulty. And make no mistake that as much as the Lord is commanding the wives to do this, Satan is much aware of it. And Satan would work to defeat our wives in this regard. And so it was laid out to you, and I lay that challenge out for you again, to be praying for one another. Husbands to be praying for their wives, that they may be able to do this by God's grace and power. And wives to be praying for their husbands, that they may not be a stumbling block to their wives in order to fulfill this command. This is a way that husband and wife work together, united in prayer for the things of God in their marriage. And as I laid that out to you, I want to ask you, husbands, did you pray that way this week? Did your life change at all because you heard from the Word of God that your wife is to submit to you, and her being a sinner and subject to temptation, did that change in how you pray for one another? And wives, the same way. Were you praying this week that God would help you by His grace and mercy to submit to Him first, and then also to your husbands? Well, that is where we left it. But in leaving it there, we did not get to all of the important things taught in verses 22 and 24, which is what I want to do today. And today I want you to see that the Holy Spirit gives us a picture here of how and why the wife submitting to her husband is based on a reality, and how they are themselves, the marriage relationship, a picture of Christ and the church. And we often talk of how the love of the husband is a picture of the reality of Christ and His love for the church. But it is also true and just as important that we recognize the submission of the wife to her husband is also a picture of Christ's church submitting to Him as her Lord and Savior, as her husband. The church has a husband. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so both husband and wife are in a living portrayal of the relationship between Christ and the church. And I wonder, husbands and wives, do you think about that often? Do you think about you praying for God to give you opportunities to be sharing Christ with others? And do you recognize that it's right there in your marriage? It's right there. You have an opportunity to show the world what a redemption that God has provided for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. How you relate to one another is a testimony to the work of the salvation that Jesus Christ has provided for you. So as we relate to one another as spouses, as husbands and wife, we are to be portraying that relationship between Christ and the church. In Ephesians 5, 22 and 24, the Spirit of God not only calls you wives to submit to the Lord and to your husbands, but He gives you a picture to look at to see what it is like to do so. So in the next few weeks, we're going to look at three pictures that are on display here for us to see in regards to this. In verse 23, which is what we're going to look at today, the Spirit-filled wife will have a scriptural view of her husband. And that is important, because having a scriptural view of your husband and who he is in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is supposed to be doing in the marriage will help you and encourage you in submitting to your husband. And next week, I hope to look at the Spirit-filled wife having a scriptural view of the church. And then following the Spirit-filled wife will have a scriptural view of conscience. And we get this from the last part of verse 24, that a wife is to submit to their own husbands in everything. And this jumps into the area of the wife's conscience. And so we will look at that lastly. But this morning we're going to look at the first picture presented to us in verse 23. And that is, the Spirit-filled wife will have a scriptural view of her husband. And so we need to say, see, wives, wives-to-be, husbands, husbands-to-be, how is a wife to see her husband? Last week we dealt with the authority of the husband over the wife, as I mentioned earlier this morning, as God's created and providential goodness to both husband and wife, as we saw that in Genesis chapter 2. Here in verse 23, which is our focus this morning, we read, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ." As also Christ, here is the picture, is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So verse 23 tells us that the husband is reality, fact, he is the head of the wife. Whether a wife will recognize that or not, or whether a husband will recognize that or not, the scripture says here, not that the husband should be the head, but the husband is the head. That's a factual, scriptural reality, and so that's part of the picture that a wife needs to see in her husband. When we see this word head, we often think, and especially men, we often think in our sinfulness, oh, I'm the boss. I'm the one in charge. I'm the one who wears the pants in this family. And that builds us up and puffs us up and takes us out of what it really means to be the head. It takes us away from God's design for the man in his relationship to his wife in being the head of the wife. As is always the case in all relationships, authority does not just mean one who gives orders. The man in charge is not just the one who tells everybody what to do, and nor is he the one whom everybody else serves. That's not the relationship that we have with other relationships in this life, and nor is it the one with our wives. And so when we see the husband is the head of the wife, we need to be careful not to think, oh, it's all about me, husbands. Because it's not. It's not all about you and you in your position or being puffed up about being in authority. And I would prove this to you by looking at Matthew chapter 20, verses 24 to 28. I'm just going to summarize here that Jesus taught counterculture idea here when he told his apostles, the 12, who would be in charge of the church, who would be commissioned to go out and teach the very things that Jesus Christ taught them. His apostles were going to be leaders in the church. But here's what he told them. They were not to lord themselves over others, but to serve one another. Just as he himself did not come to be served, but to give his life as a ransom for many. So the scriptural view of the husband is that he is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Husbands, that's where you get your definition for what it means to be the head of the wife. You don't get it from the world. You don't get it from your own pride. You don't get it from your own culture. You get it from Scripture, and you get it from Jesus. That's the scriptural view. Jesus is the head of the church. So husbands, that's where you find what it is for you to be the head of your wife. And wives, that is what you should expect of your husband, to be as Christ is head of the church. Christ is the king of the church. He is the ruler of the church, but he is also responsible for the church. Personally responsible for the church. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus claimed it to be his church, and he said, "This is what I'm going to do. I am responsible for it. It is mine, and I will build it." You see him taking that personal responsibility? He is king over the church. He is the ruler over the church, and he is responsible for the church. And he says so in that statement. It was his church, and he was the one responsible for building it. The one who is in charge is responsible for his charges. He's not just the authority over them. He's not just the order giver. Husbands, and I ask you this morning, are you taking responsibility for your wife? Or are you just exercising authority over her? Because you cannot have properly one without the other. The view that is being presented here in verse 22 and 24 is that you are the head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. And as Christ is responsible for the church, so are you also responsible for your wife, even in her submission to you. That's why I read from Job chapter 2. You notice how Job responded to his wife. He responded to her with good counsel. He responded to her showing her where she was wrong. And he responded to her in showing her how to trust the Lord in good times and terrible times. But he took responsibility for her to counsel her and to teach her and not just say, oh, you're wrong. But he led her in the ways of the Lord. As Christ is the head of the church, husbands, you are also involved in your wife's call and command to be submissive to you. You see, that's what Christ does as head of the church. He gives us His Word not only to exhort us to follow Him, but also to correct us. That's how Christ is head of the church. That's how Christ cares for the church. And over again in the Psalms that we sang this morning, we saw God's care for His people, taking responsibility for His people. And that's the way you see it in this life. This is not something that should be hard for us to grasp. Have you ever noticed that when an organization is not succeeding, that it doesn't get rid of all its members? It gets rid of its leaders. Why? Because not only were they an authority, but they are responsible for the well-being and the success of that organization. How many times have you heard of a sports team that's not doing well? But you never see the ownership of that team saying, we're going to fire all the players and we're going to get all new players. When it comes to that kind of decision, it is the head coach and his staff that are fired. Because not that he's out there playing the game, and not that he even did a bad job of managing the team, but simply he is responsible for that team. He is responsible for their success. He is responsible for them doing well. He is responsible. And likewise, in the military, an army will not fire its soldiers after the loss of several battles, but it will replace its generals. It will replace its leaders. Why? It's not because they shot the gun and missed. It's because they're responsible. Because as one being in authority and being the head over all that organization, they are responsible for it. And so as the Spirit of God calls the wife to submit to her husband, He tells her husband that He tells her that her husband is the head of her. That's the reality, just as Christ is the head of the church. That's the picture that God gives to the wife to see what she's to be looking for. It's also the picture that God gives to the husband and says, you're not only over your wife, you're responsible for her. Because that's how Christ cares for His church. You are responsible for your wife. And you are responsible in various ways, even in the way that she submits to you. The picture that God has given us here has substance. The headship of the husband means something because it is based on something. It is based on something great. The care of Christ for His church. That's what a husband is to be looking at when he sees these words. The husband is the head of the wife. Look to Christ Jesus, how He cares for His church. Look to Christ Jesus and how He takes responsibility for it in all ways. Your headship over your wife is based on Jesus Christ alone, Not the world, not the culture, not even how you feel, not even the situation that you find yourself in with your wife. Your headship as a man, as a husband, with your wife is to be based on the Lord Jesus Christ and His headship over the church. The Spirit of God is reminding us of what He taught us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, saying, "And He put all things under His feet," speaking of Christ, "put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." Because of Christ's life, work, death, and resurrection, He has been appointed King over the church, over all things for the church. And so He is responsible for it. Its care, its nourishment, its growth, its protection, its salvation from sin. There is not one part of the church that Jesus Christ ever says, "Oh, I'm not responsible for that." Same way with the husbands. There's not one part of your marriage relationship that you are not responsible for. You can't do it apart from your wife as well, but you are still responsible. You cannot say to your wife, "Submit to me as your head, but I'm not responsible." That's not the fact. The fact is that you are the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. So find your definition, find your calling, husbands, as you look at Jesus Christ and how He cares for the church. We look also at verse 23 and we see a part of it that may seem like it doesn't fit in here. And that's the last part of verse 23 where it says, "And He is the Savior of the body." So why did the Holy Spirit put this in here? There are some things that we're going to need to look at carefully here, or we could miss the importance of what the Spirit is saying in this phrase alone. Who is the He in this phrase? And He, speaking, and also Christ is the head of church, and He is the Savior of the body. This is still part of that picture that the Spirit of God is leading out there for us, that we may see how things are supposed to work in the marriage. So the He in this phrase is Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of His body. But what application does it have here for the husband? What part of the picture is the Spirit of God using this for? In calling wives to submit to their husbands and for husbands to recognize what it means to be the head of the wife. Well, the picture here is that of Jesus Christ and His headship over the church. But the application that the Spirit of God is making is to the husband. He wants the husband to see what it means to be the head of the church. Now, we know the husband is a sinner. He is a created man and cannot be the wife's savior from sin. So that is not what the Spirit of God is saying here, that the husband is the wife's savior from sin. But the Spirit made no mistake here including this as part of this picture. The reality is in Christ Jesus. The application is to the husband and for the wife. And notice it is assigning responsibility of saving the church to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of His body. So how is the husband then part of this? Well, the word Savior here means a Savior, translated correctly, or a Deliverer, or a Preserver. This same word for Savior is used in 1 Timothy 4:10, where we read these words, "For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe." Now, I don't know if that verse gives you problems when you read that, but right there, a lot of people take that verse and see, nobody is going to hell. Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men. They all will be saved in the end. But that is not what the Bible teaches, and that's not what the Bible is teaching here. If we look at 2 Thessalonians 1:9, we read these words. Those speaking of those who do not obey the gospel, "These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." 2 Thessalonians 1:9. So what then does it mean? We see here clearly, we see all throughout the Bible, that those who rebel and reject God will not be with God in eternity. They will be separated from Him and from His glory and will be in hell forever. So what does it mean that Jesus is the Savior of all men? Or what does it mean that the living God is the Savior of all men, as is stated in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10? Here it means that God preserves all men. He looks after them all. He preserves them all. For if He didn't, they would not exist for a moment. being sinful and rebellious as they are before God. It is that God has a relationship with all men, causing the rain and the sun to come down upon them all, the just and the unjust. We might, as we commonly stated, the common grace of God, as this is stated in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, it says, especially of those who believe. God has that special relationship. That special saving relationship of those who believe and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so here in Ephesians 5:23, we see Christ is the Savior of the body of Christ. But the picture is being presented here to the husbands to see what their role is to be like as the head of his wife. And so the Holy Spirit describes this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 31. The husband, though he's not her Savior in a spiritual sense from sin, he is her preserver. He is her caretaker, just as God is over all men. The Holy Spirit describes what the husband is supposed to do in Ephesians 5, verses 25 to 31. He is to love her. He is to give himself for her, nourish and cherish her as Christ loved the church. So as Christ loved the church, he saved the church. And the husband has a similar role and responsibility towards his wife. Just as he takes care of his own body, he is to take care of his wife as well. He is to be her preserver. He is to be caring for her as Christ cares for the church. Now, throughout this sermon, it may sound like I have taken the focus off of the wife and put it on the husband. And in one sense, I have. But I have been painting a picture of the portrayal of the husband as Christ loved the church so that the wife can be encouraged to see the provision that God is making for her here in giving her somebody who is responsible in God's providence for her. The husband's role in headship is being called out here and given to us in a picture of Christ as its reality and foundation for this relationship. Christ is our king. Christ is our head, our authority, and Christ is responsible for the church, just as the husband is for the wife. We see, when we think back to the picture of the body of Christ, the whole body of Christ, we see that we are all members of it, but that Christ is the head. Christ is the head of the body. He directs it. He unites it. He cares for it. He saves it. And the husband is to do likewise. He is to be that preserver, loving, giving, sanctifying, cleansing, washing his glorious bride, just as Christ does the church. Husbands, this is God's foundation for you to know what it is to be the head of the wife. Wives, this is God's provision to you to be looking for and praying for this in your husband. He is not just your authority, though he is that. He is also responsible for you, just as Christ is responsible for his church. In God's design, the wife is kept, preserved, guarded, cared for, nourished, protected, loved, and shielded by the husband. For this is exactly what Christ does for the church. And so if the wife is seeking to be filled with God's Spirit, she must see her husband in this way. He is her head. He is her authority. And all that comes with great responsibility to her, just as Christ is for the church. So when you pray, pray that the Lord would help you see this picture in your own heart and mind, but also in your husband. Pray for your husband. Yes, this is the ideal picture. And in this life, you're not going to see it in its perfection. But God doesn't give us these commands and these pictures just to say, oh, that's a good thought. Don't worry about it. It's never going to happen. It can happen. It can happen. And this is part of the wife submitting to her husband, is lifting him up in prayer, that he may be the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. If you start here with this picture in mind, then by God's grace, as you yield yourself to his Spirit more and more, you'll be able to act in light of this picture. And that is why the Spirit of God is giving you this picture of the reality in Christ. It is not just for information and to have good knowledge about the church or about what your husband should be. But it is for real, heart-shaped, genuine submission to the Lord and to your husband. And that is where you will find the blessing of the Lord. So wives, future wives, young ladies, I would say to you to be praying to the Lord. For those of you who have a husband, that he might not only be your authority in accordance with God's word, but that he might also be taking his place of responsibility for you as well. And remember, he too is subject to temptation, weaknesses, and sin. And he needs the grace and power of God to be your proper head. So be praying for that. Young ladies who are not married, be praying that God would provide you with such a spouse, such a husband. That is not impossible for the Lord to do. In fact, he does it when we yield ourselves to him and are filled with his Spirit. But pray not just for your benefit, so that submitting to your husband will be easier. But pray so that your marriage will be a testimony of the love of Christ for the church. And that your marriage will be a testimony of the love of the church for Christ. That is a witness to the world. So I leave this asking, husbands, you are the head of the wife. Take responsibility, will you? Be responsible for your wife in the ways that Scripture tells us here, and we're going to look at in the future. But husbands, I would also exhort you to throw out those worldly ideas of being the boss, of the one who wears the pants in the family, of being the tyrant. Because that is not how Christ loved the church. That is not the relationship that is being portrayed here as Christ is the head of the church. Christ, as the head of the church, was a sacrificial, giving, caring head who took responsibility for his bride. Say to the husbands, put on the new man, being filled with the Spirit that comes with responsibility to serve as the preserver of your wife and of your marriage. Pray diligently that your marriage, the one you are responsible for, will be a testimony to God's grace and salvation to the world. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do ask, Lord, that you would take your word, work it into our hearts and our lives. Help us, Lord, to see where there needs to be correction and repent of it. Repent of our sin. Help us to see, Lord, where we need to maintain what we're doing and rely upon your strength to be the head of our wives as Christ is the head of the church. Lord, help us not to look to anything but Jesus Christ and his care for the church as we seek to know the role of our relationship with our spouse as the head of our wife. Please do this for us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.